was just easy for you from the get-go.
Jamie had an announcement, too, for the school.
Oh, Jamie, sorry. Go, yes.
I just wanted to say we're also
happy. Yes, sorry.
Okay. We're also having our Christmas program for our co-op, the 14th, so Wednesday. Yes, so the church Christmas thing in Bishop is on Thursday, and our co-op one up here is on Wednesday, the 14th. So the kids are putting together songs and a skit, and we're going to have a potluck beforehand over at the community center, and it's a soup, salad, stew, chili type potluck. and then we're having a bake sale as well. We're going to have a raffle, fundraiser raffle. So if you want to put together a gift basket or any sort of gift for that raffle, that would be great. We're trying to gather those things. And then people will purchase raffle tickets and we'll give away some prizes. So, yeah.
So good. Lots of amazing things going on. And that reminds me, actually, Rena, it's so good to see your face, Rena. We love Rena. And Rena has been leading an amazing little group. She is leading our youth group for junior high, 6th, 7th, 8th grade. And so the Lord really put that on her heart. Heather and I felt like, yeah, like you're the person, like you were born for this. But she needs help. If you want to help her or you know somebody that is great with kids, talk to Rena or talk to myself. But that's happening here Thursdays, 6. Okay. Buckeyes are amazing. I remember I didn't know what Buckeyes were, and then I went to Ohio, and I had a Buckeye, and it'll change your life. peanut butter. Glory. All right. Okay. I got a message, people. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for your goodness, your grace in this house, Lord Jesus. I just pray for your anointing on this word, Lord, and just have your way and do what only you can do, King Jesus. We love you. We lean into you this morning. We ask you, God, to minister hope and life and faith into this house. We love you, Jesus, with all that we are. Bless this time. And everybody that agreed with me said, amen. So I'm going to speak a message that I didn't get to speak last week because I was trying to catch you guys up with the discernment. But I have a message that for those of you that were in Bishop, you might get a little repeat, but it's okay. So this is called, I'm naming this Healthy Habits. Healthy habits that will create happy holidays. Come on. Healthy habits that create happy holidays. Everybody wants happy holidays, right? We want to experience happy holidays. But God started speaking something to me in the last few weeks and just kind of how I approach life, how I approach the Christmas season, how I approach family. And just challenging me. I like when the Lord challenges me. And I was brought to this scripture, Proverbs 24, 3 and 4. And it says this, through wisdom, a house is built. And by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Somebody say amen. And I don't know about you, but I want to know how to build the house well, how to build my family well, how to build God's house well. And Scripture tells us how to do that. And sometimes I feel like in this race that we are running in life and in America, sometimes there's things that just kind of clutter what God is trying to say and what He's doing in our lives. There's things that get in the way. And so I just want to expose some of these things that get in the way and help us to lean in a little bit more to what God wants for us. Amen. And the first thing that would help us to build God's house and to build our families, our marriages, and our own heart better is to get a revelation of something that took place in the book of Genesis. And it's a lie that came, and it's been actually happening for thousands of years. And it happens in American culture. It probably happened today in Crowley Lake. And it's this. It's this lie that came in with Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve were walking with the presence of God. And Adam and Eve had everything that they could possibly ever want, right? Like God blessed them. They could hear the voice of God. They were naming animals. Like, how cool is that? You're naming animals with the Lord. It's a good day. And that's a zebra. That's an ant. You know, like it was just really cool. Like God was fully with them. And He said, but I don't want you to go near or to touch or to eat of this tree, right? I don't want you to do that. And so the enemy slithers in this perfect environment and this amazing thing that they have going on. He slithers in and he whispers this lie. And basically the lie summed up is this, like, what you don't have is what you need. The thing that you don't have right now in your life is what you actually need. And if you don't get that, you're going to miss out. And I just feel like in our lives as Christians and as Americans, sometimes we tend to look at the grass on somebody else's yard. And the grass is growing beautifully. And we're like, we want that grass. I want it like they have it. But we don't realize that there was a price that was paid to get green grass like that. There were steps that had to be taken. Amen? And so I feel like there's this revelation that we can all get that would help to create healthy habits, which would in turn make happy holidays. And it's this. Are you ready? Less is more. Less is more. And, you know, because it's like so many times we're grabbing stuff. You know, I go to the Dollar Tree with my kids, and it's like everything looks amazing. Like, I want this. It's $1.25 for Sonic keychain. I have to have this. You know, that looks amazing. You know, so we're just getting all this stuff, and it's like, yeah, it's $20, whatever. But it breaks in a couple days, and you know, and then you just accumulate more and more stuff. And you know, I think like, If you were to talk to an individual, and we all know people that had months to live, a month to live, 3 months to live, and if you speak to somebody that really is at the end of their life, they're not worried about the Dollar Tree. They're not worried about their brand new countertops. They're not worried about, oh, if I could just get new floors in, then my family will love me, you know. No, like they're not worried about anything out there. It's just if you could boil your life down to what really matters, like you talk to a person that's at the end of their life and they'll say this, am I right with the Lord? Yes, yes. Is my heart in a good place with Jesus? Am I loving Him? Do I know that He loves me? How's my relationship with my spouse? With my family? The ones that mean the most to us. Like, how is our relationship with our kids? Is it strained? Because the Bible says tomorrow's not even promised to us. And so let's get our affairs in order. Let's get our house in order. And the three things that would be most important to that individual was relationship with God, relationship with family, and relationship with friends. Do you see a theme here? Relationship. It's about people. It's about connecting with flesh and blood, with a person with skin on, not just looking at our phones all the time and connecting with the new YouTube guy and the new Instagram influencer. You know, it's about connecting with people. And I just want to do better at not gathering stuff, but missing the heart of my wife. In getting all the stuff and chasing after all the things, am I missing my kid's heart? Am I missing my wife's heart? Am I missing people close to me? Am I missing their heart? Am I missing connection? You know, like in this culture, we have so many likes on Facebook. We have so many likes and hearts on Instagram, on Twitter. But yet we have very few close relationships. And I feel like the Lord wants to flip that right now and bring us back to like the simplicity of the gospel. And spring cling, say spring cling. You don't hear that word too much in December. But I think there's a spring cleaning that can happen in our soul, in our relationships, and even in our house. Like we don't need to get every little gift, and we don't need to get every little toy that's out there, and it just causes more stress, and it causes more of a burden, right? And so Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is so light. And so the first thing that would help us to have happy holidays is to yoke up to Jesus. Less is more. We don't need to strive to be in this relationship with Jesus and strive to have happy holidays. Amen. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
So you got to go slow if you want to go fast. My father-in-law was actually, he was in my notes, and he just wrote that. I looked down, I'm like, that's not my writing. Thank you. He wrote, go slow to go fast, Dad. Amen. That's the truth. So less is more. And the next thing that we need to get a revelation of is that stress is not a good thing. But I think a lot of times we just take it on. We take it on the chin and we just take more stress because we just feel like that's what we have to do in the holidays. That's what we have to do during Thanksgiving, and more families coming, and we got to buy this, and we have to buy 6 trees, and we have to go do that and do this thing and do that thing. And it's just more and more stress, and there's more fear, there's more anxiety, there's more depression when we're supposed to be super excited and celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But yet we're under something, this heavy load of stress. And so stress in the holiday season, in any season of our life, but especially right now, stress is not good. It'll eat up your physical health, your emotional health, and your mental health. Amen. It's like when you're running a computer and you have all these windows open and you're running all these programs. You're like, my computer is so slow. Actually, it's not. It's a great computer. You just got to close some stuff. Free up some space. Amen. Amen, Aaron. It's a computer guy. So what are the things that are causing great stress and anxiety in your life? You know, is it financial stress? I know a lot of us, we carry great financial stress. And that can wear a person down, you know. And so is it just debt? Are you in bucket loads of debt? Because debt can cause massive stress as well. And, you know, it's for another person, it would be addictions. You know, they have this addiction that they can't kick, and this addiction is killing them. And they just keep coming back to it. Substance abuse, porn addiction, whatever it is, there's different addictions for different individuals. But inside, it's so stressful and it's eating them alive. And like, what do I do about this problem? And another person, it would be toxic relationships. Toxic relationships. Keep going back to that girlfriend or that boyfriend that is super toxic, that leads you down a bad path, and it's causing so much stress. But yet, the Bible says, What does the Bible tell us? That a dog will always return to its vomit. It sounds pretty disgusting, but now that I have a dog again, it's true. I'm like, don't eat that. But it's the truth. It's human nature. And so what do we do when we're feeling this stressed in our holiday seasons, in our life, when we're feeling weighed down, held down? The Bible gives us answers and it gives us a way out. It always gives us a solution. And so the first thing that you have to do is found in Proverbs 25:28, and it says this: whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a broken down city without walls. That's a heavy scripture. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a broken down city without walls. And so the thing that we have to begin to ask the Lord for is, Lord, help me to build the walls back up. Help me to not be a city with broken down walls. What does that look like? That looks like self-control. And self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. And so we say, Lord Jesus, I just pray, give me self-control. I'm feeling just stressed out of my mind. I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling afraid. I'm feeling depressed right now. I want to swipe my card like 10 times. I want to go buy that thing and buy that thing and buy that thing. And it's causing great stress and harm. And so, Lord, give me self-control. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. That's heavy. That's heavy. And so the first thing we pray, Proverbs 25:28, Lord, give me self-control. Then Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, and because we reject knowledge. So what do we ask and what do we pray then? We pray for understanding, for knowledge. Lord, give me understanding in this season of my life. I'm feeling overwhelmed. You said I could have the fruit of the Spirit of self-control. And so I'm asking for self-control. Cultivate this in my life, Lord. And now I'm asking for understanding. This season is crazy. Navigating family relationships, navigating, maybe there's divorce happening in your family. Maybe there's financial crisis, different things. Lord, help me to navigate this. I need help. I need understanding. He gives it to us. And then Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent surely lead to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. And so I love that. The plans of the diligent lead to plenty. So let's ask for self-control. Let's ask for understanding. And then just say, Jesus, I need a plan. I'm talking about healthy habits. I'm talking about a healthy soul, a healthy heart, not being stressed out of your mind during the holiday seasons. Amen? And so less is more. Remove the stress. Say, remove the stress. And then the last thing is putting God first again. You're like, well, of course I put God first. Well, I just want to encourage you in that. Matthew chapter 6 is a wonderful prayer, a wonderful portion of scripture. And Jesus said, so there's many ways you could put God first. The first way that I want to just touch on, obviously, is prayer. And prayer is very important to the Christian life. And Jesus said in Matthew 6:6, but when you pray, go into your room. When you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. That's a good scripture. He will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions. And it goes on and on. And he gives the Our Father who art in heaven. He tells us how to pray and the Lord's Prayer. But I love this in 6. When you pray, go into your room. Shut your door. Pray to your Father who is in the secret place. I feel like there's something so beautiful and something so special about just coming back to that you and the Lord. And I know for me in this culture, even in Christian culture, it's easy to get swept away into doing things all the time with people. And I love people, and I love worship events with people. I love praying with people. But then there is something that you have to cultivate in your own life, your own garden. You can't cultivate your own heart and your own garden if you're always with people. You have to come into the secret place where it's just you and it's just Him. And you pray and you weep and you cry out for your family and you cry out for those things that are deep within your heart that you feel like you can share to nobody else but your Father in heaven. You talk to Him. You share your hopes and your dreams and your fears, and He begins to fill you with hope and His dreams and with faith. Prayer, it's so powerful, and it's easily forgotten. But it is the game changer for Christianity. It is Christianity 101. And the enemy wants to isolate us, and the enemy wants to keep us out of our prayer closets, keep us spinning our wheels like little hamsters, so that we are super busy, but we're not productive. Thank you. Come on, somebody. So say prayer. I want to put God first. There's lots of scriptures. I'll talk more about that next week, putting God first with prayer. And then the next thing, that a way that we put the Lord first in our life is generosity. Generosity. And it says in Acts chapter 20, 35, that's a good verse. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of our Lord Jesus, that He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's a good word, Lord. And Proverbs 11, 24 and 25, there is one who scatters yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Who wants to be watered? That was Proverbs 11, 24, 25, and Acts 20, 35. And so I feel like this is something that is always before us, to live a life of generosity. And in a culture, and especially in the last couple of years, when it feels like everything's closing in, you know, it's like, oh, I'm losing money in my stocks. I'm losing this. I'm losing that. Do we scale back our generosity? Do we scale back our heart to give to the Lord, our heart to help the widows, the orphans? You know, do we scale everything back? No, like that. We should be leading the front lines. We should be on the front lines of being generous, of helping those that have nothing. Come on. It is better to give than it is to receive. And it's a way that you grow in God. Like it really, like, it's so beautiful, because what does it do? It causes you to trust Him in a way that you haven't had to trust Him before. And it's really a way to say, Jesus, I love you. I put you first place in my life. And you're not just Lord over my worship, but you're Lord over my finances. You're not just Lord over this section of my life and this section of my heart. You're Lord over everything. You're King over everything. Come on. And so we can trust Him in generosity, and you trust Him in different ways of being generous. And the first way, which is a way that a lot of churches don't like to talk about, but it's in the Bible. Like, if it's in the Bible, I just want to talk about the Bible. Amen. And sometimes you just got to talk about those uncomfortable verses, and it's tithing. The Bible has a lot to say about tithing, and actually this is really cool. Like, there are so many promises, hundreds and hundreds of promises in the Scriptures, but the most of any promise in the Scripture is on giving, on generosity. There's more Scriptures and there's more promises on generosity and giving than every other Scripture combined, every other promise combined. Isn't that amazing? So God has some good stuff to say. And if you go to Leviticus 27:30, I'm just giving you a couple just to refresh us. But it says Leviticus 27:30, and all of the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Say holy. It's holy. Malachi 3:10. I love the book of Malachi. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And test me in this, says the Lord, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. I love this scripture because it presents two different tests. There's two tests. He's saying, test me, but really, if you read between the lines, it's the first test is to you and it's to me. And the test is this, do you trust me? Like you sing, I'm the way maker. You sing that I do all these things, but do you truly trust me? And so the first test before anything is put into God's court, the first test is on us. Do you love him? Do you trust him? Is he Savior? Is he Lord? Is he truly the creator of the universe? And then the next one, he's like, okay, I'm going to test you. Now, why don't you go ahead and test me? Come on. So he's like, he's so faithful. He's like, I'll test you. Do you love me? Do you trust me? Now you go ahead and test me and try me in this. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing, there's not room enough to receive it. And it goes on to say, like, he'll rebuke the devourer. And there's so many promises in that. And so a lot of people, there's a few things that people would say when it comes to giving in this context. First, they would say, well, that's the law. And so you don't give because you don't have to give anymore because that's the law. We're not under the law. But the Bible says that the first tithe was given actually before the law. It was given with Abraham, and he gave a tithe to Melchizedek, which was a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. And so he gives a tithe, and so that tells us it came before the law. Hallelujah. And we know that you go, a lot of things stop at the cross and a lot of things go through the cross. And so giving and generosity in our hearts, a generous heart, that goes through the cross. And why wouldn't we want there to be food in the storehouses? See, the church is the answer, not our church, but all churches in the valley, all churches across California and America. It's the answer to poverty. If the church had enough money, we could end poverty and homelessness, but churches are broke. I'm preaching better than you responded. It's the truth. Like we don't have money to fill up food banks. We don't have money to take care of the widows and the orphans. I'm talking about on a national level, a lot of churches. And so he says, like, put food in the storehouse. Amen. And trust him. You know, and then, you know, New Testament giving, look at the apostles and the disciples. It says they laid everything at their feet. And they were so touched by the Lord's presence and by the gospel that they just said, I have to give everything. Like, I can't hold anything back from the Lord. Like, he's so good and he's so real. Like, I'm all in. And that's just how I want to live my life. I just want to be all in. Like in every area, like in my family life, in my personal life, in when I work, in how I conduct myself privately, I want to be all in for Jesus. Not just 10% of my life, all of my life. Yes. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. We could do a whole lot more when the Lord has 90%. Or excuse me, God could do a whole lot more with your 90% than you can with 100%. It's just trusting him. And it's not a debt. Like giving is not about a debt that we owe to those that are down and out, to the orphans, to the Mexico ministry, to the church. It's not about a debt. It's about a seed. And when you sow a seed, like expect a harvest. Expect like breakthrough in your life and in your family. Not, and it doesn't always come in financial means, but it'll come like, man, like my relationship with my wife's just on point. Like something's just shifted in our environment, like because we're putting the Lord first. It's a principle it changes everything.
Yes.
Amen. And this is something that we have lived by, you know, my whole Christian life, you know, growing up, getting saved and, you know, coming to this church. And I didn't have much, you know. I remember working at Volcano Sports. That's a blast from the past. And Mammoth Sporting Goods and all these places and not having a whole lot to give, but just wanting to give something. And coming to the Lighthouse and coming here and just sowing something, giving to the Lord because, like, you know, He's worthy of it.
Yes.
And that trans went over into, as I was a missionary, I got really touched and I just wanted to keep giving. I'm like, why wouldn't I give? Like, we're coming alongside of the local churches here. Like, why wouldn't I sow into these churches? Why wouldn't I sow into these pastors here? And so it was just a revelation that really began to change my life and help me draw closer to the Lord. And, you know, and it's been a real something that Heather and I have lived by since we've gotten married. And it's just been, it's a game changer. And again, it's not something that people are always comfortable talking about, but it's a beautiful thing that the Scripture has plenty to talk about. You know, when we first came to this beautiful and amazing, powerful church, you know, it's been 8.5 years since we've been pastoring, and we love this place. We love what the Lord's doing here, and we love what He's doing in the Eastern Sierras. But when we came, you know, there was some big blow-ups that we all know, and there was a lot of hurt, and there was not a lot of money left. In when we first came to this church, there wasn't very much at all. And you know, I remember looking at the books, and there just wasn't much. And it was kind of it was a faith step to even come. You know, there wasn't even really money for us to get paid, but it was a faith step, and we knew that God would take care of us. And we began to look at the books, and we just said, well, who are we giving to as a church? And the person at the time was like, we're not giving to anybody. And I said, well, we have to change that today. Like, we have to take 10% out of this church. We have to give it. We have to get it out of our hands today.
Amen.
And so we just started taking money and giving to other churches, other ministries, missionaries, like, just get it out of our hands as fast as possible. And the Lord began to bless Church of the Mountain again. And not that that's the only solution, but it changes something in the atmosphere. And so it works if you work it. Hallelujah. And then there's ways like, you know, it's giving. It's being a generous person. It's helping the person get that turkey at Thanksgiving or Christmas. It's going to the Loony Bean and you see somebody doesn't have enough change. And you're like, hey, let me buy you a cup of coffee. They're feeling embarrassed, like pulling all the quarters out of their pocket. And you're like, I want to get this guy. It's just living. It's just choosing, like, I'm going to live generous.
Amen.
Nothing's going to make me be greedy. It's not about me. I'm not going to be the Grinch.
Amen.
I want to be a generous person. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Isaiah 32:8, but a generous man devises generous things, and by generosity he shall stand. That's a good word. So there's giving, there's generous with the people, being generous with the people around us, there's being generous with God's house, with the widows and orphans, and then there's this thing that the Scripture likes to talk about, it planned generosity. And I love this, and I was thinking about this because this is really the DNA of this church and this house is planned generosity. And I love that people like Paul and Joyce Rowan, they didn't just give haphazardly. They prayed, they planned, and they gave their land so that the lodge could be built. And Tom Long built this beautiful lodge so that we could help missionaries and pastors. And, you know, there's been missionaries and pastors that have come from all over the world. To get rest. We brought in pastors from Mongolia that could never, ever afford that. Never afford a plane ticket. We paid for their plane ticket. We let them stay there for 2 months. They had just gone through the worst season of their life. They got totally healed. Remember? Sodom Gloria. Now they have a baby. And then others have come. And it's just, it's a blessing, but it comes when people are intentional with their giving. And so there's just generosity every day, and there's generosity with your giving, but then there's planned generosity. And I think this is really cool because you can you think about, okay, that person in your family that's just struggling and they need some breakthrough. It's like, just plan something out. The Henslers planned something very strategically many years ago, and they gave land for the church that we're now enjoying. Like, this was given. The acres was a blessing. It was planned giving. That this is the whole story of Church of the Mountain, is just people connecting with that and saying, I'm gonna give like beyond myself. I'm giving for a legacy, for eternity, for the next generation. And that's what these big modulars are all about. It's like, man, do we have enough money to do anything? No. Like, we don't have enough money to start this project, but by faith, like, I want to see those buildings filled with kids. Amen. I want to see kids getting a good education in Christ. And you know, like, and so sometimes you have to take a step in faith. And we do this because tomorrow and the next generation truly does matter. And so we have to live generous lives. We have to put God first because the next generation matters. There's kids and teenagers and people in this community that are counting on us. You know, I'm so thankful that there were people in this community that saw the next generation. I love, you know, that when Dave Nelson was here, we were during the Jubilee, and he was sharing this, and it was so neat that he just kind of tied all the pieces together. And he was talked about that, how when he came in as just a young hippie with super long hair, he was just so excited that there was all these older people that just really paid a price by giving land, by doing some building, by making room for a bunch of hippie kids. And so, like, here we are again. 50 years later, here we are again. Like, what are we going to do? What room are we going to make for the next generation? And so tomorrow matters. The next generation matters. And we need to build our house with wisdom. Build your family. Build your marriage with wisdom. Build this church with wisdom. And when you build it with wisdom, you're coming back to the simplicity of the gospel. You're coming back to foundational teaching. And so I just, with all my heart, I want to come back to what is important to God, what is foundational, because if you build on the right foundation, it won't shake. And again, there is one, not that scripture, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Somebody say amen. And so it is not a sprint that we are in. It's a marathon. And you got to pace yourself. But we're running. We're running for the long haul. That's what this whole thing is about. Like, emotional health, spiritual health, physical health. It's so that you can live the long haul. You can run the race. You can see your grandkids, your great-grandkids. You can pass the baton on well, right? But we have to begin to get the stress out of our life. We have to begin to yoke up to Jesus and not the things of the world. We have to begin to put God first once again in our life through prayer, through generosity, through other means. Why? Because people are counting on us. And you're like, well, it just seems like too much. There's so much going on. Like, this is crazy. I can't do it. How do you do it? Just do it one day at a time. One step at a time. One day at a time. And the famous quote, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. I've never had elephant, but I've had camel. And you just take one bite at a time. So camel's pretty good. It tastes a lot like horse. So I'm sorry. You eat a lot of weird stuff in Asia. I've had dog burritos. But sometimes you eat things that you just don't know what you're eating, and then you find out later. But I knew I was eating camel, and at first when you see him, you're like, I don't want to eat that. But then you eat it, and you finish it by one bite at a time. Amen. Yeah. goat's head, sheep brains. Feel like you're in the middle of an Indiana Jones movie sometimes, but just do it. God is with you. And my whole point is that we could do this thing. Like, COVID is not too big that it scares God. And our economy is not too crazy that God's like, oh my gosh, like, I was not expecting this. Like, he's not moved. He's still the Lord. He's still on the throne. He's awesome. And so I just feel like if we would begin to adjust a few things in our life personally, that we would have happy holidays and a healthy heart and a healthy life, healthy marriages, healthy church. So Jesus, we just thank you for today. I just pray you would bless this church, Lord, and bless every person in this room, Lord. Help us to put you first, Lord, in all areas of our life. God, that we would truly be people of prayer, that we would be generous, Lord, generous tippers with our waitresses. God, it would just be in us. Like, we just want to be generous. We just, like Paul said, it is better to give. And so, Lord, I just pray that would just be in us, in our DNA. We are generous, and we put you first. And Lord, I just pray, God, as we talked about, Lord, give us self-control, give us understanding, and give us a plan. For the one that's feeling overwhelmed with addiction, overwhelmed in a relationship, overwhelmed with your finances, with debt, I just pray, Lord, give us self-control, give us understanding, and give us a plan. And Lord, I just bless every person in this room, and help us, Lord, to have happy holidays. And I just pray for holidays that are full of reconciliation and restoration with friendships and relationships. And because you love that, Lord. You love when brothers and sisters heal the wounds and heal the fractured relationships, Lord. You're into that. And so, Jesus, I just say, have your way. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed. Be blessed.